think this is an excellent time for us just to, as we stand in awe of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as we sing all hail King Jesus. You know, this is a moment where we just need to respond. This is not a moment to be passive even in your own spirit and to think of other stuff, but to respond to the work of Jesus Christ on a cross, to respond to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A place where we lay down our lives, where you again just surrender all that you are before the King of Kings. We recognize Him as King, as Lord, as Savior, as we sing all hail King Jesus. All the glory and the honor and the power and the majesty belongs to Him. And we just respond to that this morning. So I just want you to, as you stand there, and as we prepare to have communion, I want you just to, in your spirit, just to respond before God right now and say, Father, I just stand before you. Whatever way you want to respond, if you want to kneel down, if you want to raise your hands, just respond to Jesus right now. He is the King on the throne. He's the one who paid for all your sins. You are forgiven because of what Christ has done. The good news of the gospel is that your sins are forgiven and you've been reconciled with God. Your sins have removed you from you as far as the east is from the west, and He does not think on it any longer. You are forgiven. You are free. You are delivered. You are His son and His daughter this morning as you stand before Him. Just let the joy of the gospel just fill your heart right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All hail King Jesus. All hail the King and the Lord. We worship you this morning, God. You are high and lifted up. The Lord of heaven and earth. Oh God, we worship you. Let's sing. Come on, let's lift our voices. Let's lift our voices to the King. All hail King Jesus. All hail to you, Lord God. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. King Jesus. King Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Kira Baba Soto. Thank you, Lord. You're the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. You paid the price for every person. You bought their salvation, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Yeah, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that as we are in your presence, we can just stand in awe of you. Just sense in my spirit as we were worshiping that there's a changing in the season, that there's, you know, even as when we go from winter to Lenta, spring, and things change and things come to life and so on, I believe that God is saying there's some of you and some of us standing here that we thought it was winter, man. It was everything was dead, and I just want to encourage you that I believe God is saying there's a change coming, that the spring is coming, that there is rain that's going to fall, there's life that's going to come, that is things that has been dormant even in your life for years that God is going to revive. There's calls that He has spoken. There's prophetic words that He has spoken that is going to start moving into place right now. And you need to expect it. You need to prepare your heart. You need to look to Him and say, Father, I remind you of these things. Bring it to pass. So, Father, I just pray for us, Father, even at this time. Lord, thank you that there's a change coming. Your Spirit is coming. Your anointing, Father God, is increasing. Even at this time, Father, where the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, to push us down, to hold us back. I thank you, Father, that those things are changing right now in the spiritual realm in Jesus' name. Strongholds are broken. Strongholds are broken right now, Father. Chains are being set free. They are loosened in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for freedom that you are releasing upon your people right now in Jesus' name. God, that we can call upon the King, the Lord, the God above all the earth and the heavens, and you hear us, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that we will see the signs, the wonders, the miracles of your glory in this day as you move in our midst, Father God. So, Father, we just receive that by faith. We receive that by faith. Just say, Lord, thank you for the change. Lord, thank you for the change in season. Thank you, Father, for life, that there's no longer death, but there's life. We give you praise, Father. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Father, expand our hearts and the expectation of our hearts. Thank you, Father, that you break off weariness. Break off weariness. In Jesus, tiredness, Father, goes in Jesus' name. Vitality returns to every heart. Joy, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just receive that. Receive that in your spirit, man. This is not a head thing. This is a spirit thing. Receive it in your spirit. Your head is going to say, but nothing's changed. But receive it in your spirit right now. Let that rivers of living water just bubble up. Let it stir within you right now. Let the Spirit of God just rise up in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give thanks to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. It's such a powerful song that we, that last one that we sang. Do you receive that word that change is coming? I really sense that strongly in my spirit that there's something is changing. It's not about to change, it is actually changing. You know, I think the thing with spring and so on is that, you know, we kind of expect it on the calendar, but man, it comes. And before you know it, stuff starts changing. And just want you to receive that in your spirit. And just want to say again, this is not a head thing. It's not something that you can figure out in your head or you can actually bring to pass in your head, but this is something that you wrestle out with God and say, Lord, what do you want to do? Also does mean, I guess, that we must be willing to change and to say, Father, have your way. You know, sometimes we can be so rigid that I think God can't change us because we are stuck in a rut. So, but may God deliver you from a rut if you are in one. But I just believe that God is going to change some things. Tell me quickly, just want you to consider something. What is the purpose of fruit? Just maybe turn to your neighbor quickly and just share with him, what do you think is the purpose of fruit? Right. So you've all got sort of got an idea of what you think the purpose is of fruit. Good, 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 good. All right, so let's read Galatians 5, verse 16 to 21. And let me just take a sip here quickly. Paul writing, saying, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, that alone is a sermon. That alone is a statement. That alone is something that I can aim my life at and walk with it. If I just do that one thing, everything will be different. Okay? But I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Who of you have noticed this? There's this constant battle between das Flesh. I think all flesh are German because they don't back off. You know, they just want to get in your face and do something. Now, apologies to all the Germans. I do have some German blood as well, apparently. Okay, in any case, so we have this wrestling. See, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But I know none of you have this problem because, I mean, you've overcome the flesh, you know, you've subdued it, you're done with it, you know, this is a beautiful scripture for you because it's easy. Some nervous laughter, I'll take it that maybe you're in my boat where this Bible verse is actually true. Okay, then he continues, says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And in Galatians, Paul is addressing this thing that they want to keep going back to the law and keeping the law. And he's basically making the point, man, if you want to be circumcised, you have to keep the whole law. You can't just do part of the law and have grace as well. So he has this big discussion with them, teaching them that man, if you walk by the Spirit, that you are no longer under the law and things are really looking different. And then verse 19, he continues and he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. So this is the evidence, and this is not an exhaustive list, just by the way. All right, he says, this is the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. See, it's a long list. Okay, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So that says to us, this is not an exhaustive list. The things that are like these. And I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now there is a statement I'm so glad I didn't make. I can say it's Paul's fault. Okay? Paul said it. All right? And then he comes to probably one of the verses that's the most well-known in Christian circles. And we quote it and we think about it and so on. And we say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then he says, against such things there is no law. Interesting, no? We want the good stuff. Okay? And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. Say to your flesh, you are crucified. Flesh, you are crucified. Stop harassing me. Okay? With its passions and desires. So what have you crucified in your flesh? Your passions and desires. But is that not life? Our passions, we hopefully do something that we're passionate about in life. But I mean, that passions are more than that. The desires are more than that. It's something that we need to pause and just sit still and think about. But actually, what is the passions and desires of my life? What am I busy with? You know, because I guess I can ask the same question is, what fruit are your life bearing? If the question that we asked, what is the purpose of fruit? If you consider the purpose of fruit, what fruit are your life bearing, and what is it accomplishing? I guess it's a good question for us to consider. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Who of you have been in the army? Yeah. So when we marched in a platoon, everybody did his own thing, right? No. I remember we were called up to do a parade in Pretoria. I think it was something like 300 soldiers in a platoon. This, I mean, it's like this long thing. I mean, standing three in a row and just, and they lined us up there far away from the stadium. And then they marched us. You see, I still get goosebumps when I think about it. Now, they marched us into the stadium. But what you heard is when we walked in, you heard one person. Those feet were in precise, working together, arms going up. I mean, not like the army today. I know you've seen some video clips, and I mean, that's like me. Whew, man, come on, guys. But I mean, everything was in sync. And that's sort of the picture that Paul is trying to communicate to us, that we need to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. That we are so consumed, so in Him, so part of Him, He is so part of us, that I'm walking in perfect unity with Him. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And there again, He's just addressing the flesh that we are. But His desire is for us to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, in this portion of Scripture, we see that He says there's definitely one thing that is happening here, that our flesh is standing in opposition to our spirit. So He has the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. There's two components here, and they are at war at one another. And I guess it's valuable for us to understand in our work as Christianities that there is this constant battle. I am still in this earth. I have not been removed. My flesh still wants to have his way if I just let him. You know, I have realized that you know, my muscles are shrinking because simply I'm not going to gym. It's not something that I want to happen. It kind of just happened. And if I don't press into the Spirit, my spiritual muscles will shrink. My faith will shrink. My expectation in God will shrink. In actual fact, other things will become so loud that it squashes down and presses down that expectation. You see, we have this fierce and unrelenting conflict within us as Christians. But the truth is, we cannot be victorious out of our own strength. There is this battle. But I want to say we have the Spirit. You see, the person who is led by the Spirit will do what is right freely. Verse 22 and 23, there's no law against that. When I walk in the Spirit, I will do those things freely. Otherwise, I will default to the works of the flesh. When the Spirit controls the life of a believer, he will produce these fruit. Now, I guess we can, you know, you're sort of evaluating yourself, so where am I now? But what is the purpose of fruit? What is the purpose of fruit? What is, you know, I have three fruit trees in our yard there at the bottom. They are beautiful sometimes. I hate them other times. You know, and I have no benefit from that tree. Okay, maybe a bit of shade now that it's got leaves again. Yeah? But the most beautiful part probably is when all those little flowers are on them. Yeah? If I look out the window and all you see is that little flowers. But then they start bearing fruit. And suddenly, I have birds in my yard that I never see. I mean, it's like a hostile takeover. They see fruit, they come to visit. I get a guava boom. What's that? It's a guava. Does it stay a guava? A guava and a guava. Okay. Yes, in here. It's tough more. Now, I tell you, we've tried everything to keep the words away from that thing, but they come for the fruit. But see, if we think about our spiritual fruit, what is the purpose of our fruit? Is that purpose of that fruit just for us to show one another how much we have grown? You know, so when I look at you, I can see, wow, I mean, you've got patience, and I see evidence of love. and you know, some self-control and so on. And I can see, yes, but last year you were like this, and this year you've grown. So I can sort of see in your life that you are growing. Is that the purpose of the fruit? Is the purpose of the fruit for us to display it when we gather like this so that we can, you know, encourage one another with the fruit on our lives? Just to see how we've matured. How does this fruit apply to our daily lives? What would you do if I say to you that if I look at Jesus' life, I see the fruit of the Spirit fully developed in his life? That when I look at Jesus, I can see him walking in all of these graces by the power of the Spirit. You see, a fruit tree bears fruit not for itself. A fruit tree, as far as I understand it, I guess there's two main things, which I'm sure you've discussed, so that they can reproduce, right? And the next one is that, and can I just say they reproduce after their kind, but also their fruit is for those around them, for the birds and us and so on. Most of the nicest fruit goes to overseas. We just get the small ones. That's so unfair. But what if the fruit that is on your life and my life is not for us? Have you ever thought of that? When you look at Galatians 5:22-23, what if that fruit is not for you? What if it's for those around you? You see, a tree can only produce what it is. I've never planted anything. I've even tried corn. And to my surprise, corn came up. It wasn't something else. But we know this. And for us, it's the same as true, is that I can only produce what I am. If I'm going to lean on the arm of the flesh, what am I going to produce? Fleshly stuff. When I walk by the Spirit, I will produce the fruit of the Spirit. You see, I believe that fruit, yes, it is for us to encourage one another and to bless one another with the fruit of the Spirit on our lives. But it's also for the unbeliever. See, the beauty of the fruit of the Spirit should draw them to Christ. See, I'm so encouraged, even in our worship, we're in that go part of the encounter, the growth path right now, and as we meditate and we think about it, how will I allow the fruit of the Spirit on my life to touch the unbelievers that I encounter? You see, the fruit of the Spirit has as much to do with evangelism as preaching the gospel does. See, I cannot preach the gospel if I don't have the fruit. Otherwise, I'm just relaying information. Truth. But the fruit needs to back it up. The fruit that we bear will show forth the glory of a loving and a very real God. Why? Because you and I simply cannot consistently bear this fruit out of our own. It is a supernatural work of a supernatural God that is at work in us by the Spirit. I want you to get that the work of the Spirit is supernatural in your life. As I walk in the Spirit, I will produce these fruits. Years ago, I did a sermon and I remember saying, you know, I've never walked past an apple tree. And then when you walk past the apple tree, you hear, apples, apples, apples. I've never seen that. You know, grapes, it's like grapes. Come on, grapes. Think grapes. Think grapes. Think nice, fluffy. Yes, grape. Grape. And out comes the grape. No, it produces after its kind. It's natural. He said, for us, the fruit of the Spirit shouldn't be a question of, yeah, patience, I should have patience. No! You cannot produce it from your flesh. You cannot make it happen. You can be patient, I guess, yes. But this supernatural fruit of the Spirit comes through my fellowship and my walking with Him. It is the evidence that He is God and that He resides in me. Are we not the temples of the Holy Spirit? I'm glad some of you know that. So the fruit that we should bear should be fruit that brings glory to God, but also that introduces people to Him. That's the purpose of my fruit. That's the purpose of Galatians. If we are just going to all, you know, have the fruit in this house and it doesn't leave this room, we're just going to become fat. Because I'm going to eat from your fruit and you're going to eat from my fruit and we're all going to get lack of fat here. If fruit can do that. That's a bad analogy, but our fruit is not just for you. So let's look at the fruit quickly. Love. This love is not our love. This is the love of God. The agape love. And listen, I know you've probably heard many sermons about the fruit of the Spirit, but allow me this morning just to take us through this in the light of considering that my fruit is just not for myself and for Christianity. Okay? It's me, it's not my love carried by the Holy Spirit, but it's me carrying His love. Consider that quickly, just think about that. It's not Him changing my life, my love. It's me carrying the love of God to a broken world. By the Spirit of God. Romans 5 verse 5b says this, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. It's been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So how do I receive this love? By praying and fasting and asking, Lord, fill me with love. Now, just let the Spirit pour it into you. Let Him flood you. You see, at this moment, I believe we need to identify with what God is doing. What is God doing, Quibus? The same thing that He did years ago. He still so much loves the world that He wants the world to be saved. That He has given His Son. That He wants to pour out His love to every man and woman and child on this earth. He wants to love on them. You see, and His love came through laying down His life. And sometimes I think we must lay down our lives, not just open our mouths. But we need to love in the same way as God loved us and lay down our lives. Now, Kobus, that's hard, man. That's tough, Kobus. I'm not so sure I want to do that. I guess that is the scripture also from counting the cost. So I guess we need to count the cost. Joy. Luke 10 verse 21 describes Jesus as full of joy through the Holy Spirit. I read nowhere that Jesus is walking around moping. Not even when He faced the cross. The joy that Jesus carried was through the Holy Spirit. So what joy must you and I carry? Must we produce joy? Or can we simply carry the work of the Spirit in our lives? See, Jesus' fruit came through the Holy Spirit. So does ours. And I think sometimes we think that our joy must come from other stuff. External stuff. Who of you have noticed that life changes? Man, today you're rowing your boat gently, gently down the stream, and the next moment it's rapids. Yeah. Nah? And trees falling into the river, and it's chaos. And then I see you, and you're like, oh, yes, yeah, this is tough, man. This is tough. And sure, it's tough. But you see, this joy is not dependent on the external. This Jesus joy is beyond the world and blossoms even in the most terrible situations of life. Isn't that awesome? And I want you to know, God invented this joy, not comedians. Not the media. But the source of joy, the one that is joy, the one that is love, that grants us this through the Spirit of God, is the source of the joy that we carry. And here's the point. Saved people should rejoice. 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 What should we do?
Rejoice.
Just tell your flesh quickly, this is me. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to carry the joy of the Spirit of the living God within me. You see, we must rejoice in God, in one another, in His Word, and in worship. We rejoice. We've got the most incredible reason to be joyful. Doesn't matter what happens in this earth. And remember, this is the fruit of the Spirit at work in my life. Peace. 2 Peter 1:4 says, say that we are partakers of the divine nature. Now you can just go sit and think. You can read that portion actually there. But go think what that means to you. If you are a partaker, if you are a carrier of the divine nature of the Almighty God, what does that mean in your life? What does that mean when you're facing certain things in your life? You see, the fruit of peace was so powerfully on Jesus' life that in John 14:27, He said to us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Why does Jesus give His peace? Because we know He knows we're going to face stuff. We're going to need His peace, the supernatural peace, to in the midst of what's going on in this life, to be able to go forth with joy. To carry this peace. You know, to in the most incredible situations, people look at you and go like, what's wrong with you? You're not freaking out. I'm bearing fruit here, man. I'm bearing fruit. This is the fruit of the Spirit, because I don't know why I should be freaking out. Nah? In Matthew 8:2-3, we see Jesus stretching out His hand and He touches a leper. Now, you must understand in the context of Scripture, this was a life-threatening disease. If you got it, you put aside and you died. So no one touched the leper. I mean, you know this from Scripture, right? No one would touch a leper. I mean, we saw it in the last 2 years with the pandemic. I mean, social distancing was like, hello, Elmi, how's that? Lay down. And here Jesus, in His context, goes and He stretches out His hand and He touches this guy. Was He reckless in doing so? Would you consider Him to have been reckless if you were one of the disciples? Jesus, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Huh? Where's your mask? Wrap your thing. You see, because he wasn't reckless. He has so much peace in that moment of doing the will of His Father that He was able to bear this fruit right in that incredible situation. You see, now you and I, we are His arms of love in the world that does not know Him. Greg testified this morning that as you, where were you again, Greg? Where was you? Venice. He was in Venice, and it struck him how, you know, people don't know Jesus. It was one of the questions in his heart. We walk around and we are his arms of love to a world that desperately needs peace. And we need God to work through us right here, right now. We must be full of the fruit of the Spirit and have that peace. Patience. Now, the word there is actually the word forbearance. And forbearance means a refraining from the enforcement of something such as debt, right, or obligation that is due. In other words, if I don't have forbearance, then, you know, if you owe me money, then I'm coming for you. I need payment. The bank has no forbearance. Have you noticed? Your landlord has no forbearance. Pay, buddy. So they're enforcing that right. And it's human for us, and it's actually common for us not to have patience, but actually want our right enforced. But this is not the way of the Spirit of God. We are supposed to have patience. We have the responsibility and Spirit-empowered mandate to have patience, to forbear as we encounter people through the Spirit of God. You see, like Jesus, we can lay down our rights and express God's kindness in pursuit of leading others to repentance. It's as I lay down my life, I have this incredible privilege of leading others to the Prince of Peace. And sometimes all we need to do is have a bit of spiritual patience to reach out to this person. Kindness. Reinhard Bonnke says the following: unkind people cannot preach the gospel. It would be a sham. I can see him saying that. Unkind people cannot preach the gospel. So please, as you go, be kind. Don't be unkind. Again, our arms of kindness are the only one God has to embrace others, and the only way for them to know that He cares. We must bear the fruit of kindness. Kindness is not passive, but it empowers us to be at our Father's work. See, kindness will propel me forward. Why? Because if I just recognize what God is doing, I can respond from that fruit and be kind. And I must just say that this fruit is not dependent on something being returned to me. It's just, I'm bearing fruit and they are eating. Colossians 3:12 says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts and kindness." You can read the rest of that scripture. But put it on. Dress up, I guess. Goodness. The first thing about goodness that we must realize is that it's intentional. And no one is simply just good by default. But our goodness is intentional. We choose right over wrong. We resist evil. We decide for good. And we actively set our hearts on things above while we walk through the world below. As I lift my eyes, as I draw from God, I can walk in this earth below all by the Spirit of God. But it's when I try and be good just of myself. You see, when goodness is not by the Spirit of God, it just becomes soppy and becomes weird. And there's seldom restoration that actually happens if goodness is expressed just from my flesh. But when the Spirit of God works through me and I'm bearing this fruit of goodness in people's lives, there will be transformation. Why? Because I'm bearing fruit of a God that loves them. The God that wants to be good and kind and patient towards them. He wants to love upon them. As this fruit grows in us, it glorifies God in the world around us. They will see Jesus. Matthew 5:16 says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, if God thought it a good idea to put in us the fruit of the Spirit, don't you think that the world still needs it today? They need us to walk in the good works that God is stirring in our hearts. Not in our homes. We need to take it outside the house. We need to take it outside this place. Faithfulness. What is good? Let me say again. What good is goodness, even love, peace, or any other of the fruit if we're not faithful to its ripening in our lives? What good is the fruit if I'm not going to be faithfully positioning myself even in the presence of God so that this fruit can ripen in my life, that others can enjoy it? Fruitfulness is the Spirit-driven ability to be steadfastly true to what we know is true. And we will arise above any cost, even death. Just like Jesus did. Jesus was faithful to his Father. Jesus was faithful even to us. And it cost him his life. He was tormented. He was crucified. But he stayed faithful by the Spirit of God. What human being would have been able to carry that weight simply by their own good intentions and works? It was the work of the Spirit in his life that enabled him to stay faithful, to not get off the cross or call down the legion of angels to sort out everybody. He was faithful to God's call upon his life. And that's a fruit that you and I can be. Gentleness. This is probably the one that's the most misunderstood as the fruit of the Spirit. When we look at gentleness, it almost, often makes us feel like doormats. You know, when we engage people, they will trample on us. I remember thinking that as a young Christian. I just feel like a doormat. You know, you must just always give way. But we as Christians are engaged in a fierce battle for the souls of men. And there are no place for gentleness. Or are there? Does gentleness have a place in this fierce battle that we are facing for the lost? You see, the gentleness by the Spirit is a measure of God's identity. It is not us being gentle, but God reaching out to the lost world through us. He's gently, continually reaching out to this lost world around us. It is his identity in us. Even us knowing that I'm in Christ, that security means that I can even in the most fierce situations just be gentle and just love them. It's almost like when your child gets hurt, you know, I remember, I think it was Jemel that got a splinter. Eh? Now, if you've ever had this, they've got the splinter. Now you want to remove this thing. And they are freaking out, man. I mean, this is, you can't touch them, screaming in a pitch that no man should hear, etc., etc. And then you have to come with this gentleness and this love because you know removing that splinter is the best thing that you can do, even though it hurts. You see, and there's a hurting world. There's a world that is tormented by sin. And God is gently just reaching out. He wants to save them. He wants to heal them. He wants to deliver them. And we as the saints of God, by the Spirit of God, are enabled to do that right now. The last one, self-control. Now, if we look at Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21, we read the works of the flesh. And they all have one thing in common. They reject self-control. Even if you listen to those in the world, I'll do what I feel like. And whatever I feel like, I'm just going to do it. And whatever I feel like, I can just do it. Because I feel like it. So there's no self-control when you read that first portion. You see, self-control empowers us to deny the allure of the world, defy the desires of the flesh, and resist temptation. So you can not resist temptation just because you are simply olic. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. Now just think of that. The more I immerse myself in the presence of God, in the Spirit of God, the more I'll be able to resist the things that the devil is just going to chuck at me. Even if it's a simple thing like anger or impatience or whatever, I have the ability by the Spirit of God to resist the temptations. You see, this is not just us resisting, but the Holy Spirit exercising His self-control and lordship over our lives. It's as I yield to Him. Why? Because God wants His people to be matchless. We are the redeemed. We are His workmanship. We are new creations, and He wants us to be that. And by the Spirit of God, we can exercise self-control. So the one thing that you cannot say to me, I guess if you speak to me from your flesh, is that I've got no self-control. You know, it's something I battle with. I want to say to you, then you just immerse yourself in the Spirit of God, and you will bear that fruit. One of the most incredible things, and I'm going to conclude with this, is that God chose to be represented by man, by you and me, people who fail all the times, but He chose to use us to represent Himself to a fallen world. Is that not an incredible privilege? Scary thought? That I'm representing in my daily going the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. And how can I do that? By bearing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Representing Him is not possible through mere human effort. But we have a promise in Luke 3 verse 16. He says this, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. God wants to baptize. If I even just listen to the word this morning, that new season, that God wants to baptize you in His Holy Spirit and fire again, afresh, so that you can bear the fruit of the Spirit. And can I just say that fruit of the Spirit is one fruit, because it's one Spirit. And we bear those things in our lives. You see, when I am in the Spirit, I should have all the fruit. You see, because the Holy Spirit doesn't come in half measures. I can only have 10% of the Spirit. See, as I yield to God, I meet all of God. I guess the more I yield, the more we see those things displayed. Sometimes I think it's hidden simply because we are not yielding. But as we yield to the Spirit of God, He wants to empower us to walk in all these things. See, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit resides in us, His messengers, His representatives here on earth right now. So can I encourage us this morning? Let us keep in step with the Spirit. And we will fulfill the mandate of God on our lives to go into the world, to preach the gospel, to teach them, to baptize them. You see, if there are not people being baptized, if there are not people that are being discipled, it only means one thing. We are not going. We have become comfortable in staying. But that is not the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is to go into all the world. So I want you to consider the beauty of fruit. Consider the beauty of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And please don't keep it for yourself any longer. Please, for the sake of the world, spend time with God. Allow the Spirit to bear this fruit in you so that a lost world will be saved. So that people that are going to hell will no longer go to hell. People that are walking in darkness, that are in bondage, that are not living lives as sons and daughters of God will be saved. Can we again engage in this fierce battle, not to do our call, but to fulfill our purpose in the kingdom? And that is to go and reach the lost. To do Matthew 28, 18 to 20. To engage with the Spirit. Saints, I think we will get a fright if we understand how the Spirit daily desires to minister to those around us. Through us. Can I just say this? It's just not the pastor that's going. We're going on missions next year. Brace yourself. Plan your holidays nicely so that you can go. We're going to have local missions. We're going to get onto this go part to fulfill the purpose of God in our generation. The world's still safe because the Christians are locked up in their homes. The world's unsaved. Did I say saved? I apologize. Let's stand. I want to echo what Elisna said this morning. That we will once again get excited about being saved. Can we again get excited about the gospel of the freedom in Jesus Christ that we have received? Can we not put it in our homes and put a lampshade over it and cover it up and say, oh, this house is saved. But the one next to you is lost. And the one down the street is going through hell, but we are not reaching out. Can we again, by the Spirit of God, not because, you know, we feel this is our religious compulsion, but can we again, by the Spirit of God, realize the urgency of the Spirit of God to see a lost world saved? And can we take this beautiful gospel to them and say, here it is. I want to preach the good news. Your sins can be forgiven. Everything that you're going through now. Now maybe even as you go, may you, when you encounter demons, just drive them out. When you encounter the sick, pray for them. When you encounter the needy, just minister to them.